It's the Halloween podcast with Lyle Perez, featuring today's guest, Tony Daniels. I scare.
That was probably the best intro the Halloween podcast has ever had.
Thank you. I'm busy now. I have to go to the rest of the room. Better known as my coffin.
Which yes. is what you should never do to a vampire. I said, man, that's a bad cold, your coffin.
Dad I think joke. That's fine.
Dad joke right there, but it took me a bit, but I got it. So hello, everyone in the Halloween podcast family. This is your host, Lyle Perez, and today is a very, very unorthodox episode of the Halloween podcast because I have not only one special guest, but I have two, a repeat guest. You've heard him before here on the Halloween podcast. Steven, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. Hey, Lyle.
Hey, good to have you back. And our special guest, Tony Daniels. How are you, sir?
Hello, Lyle. How you doing? Hi, little Stevie boy.
What's going on, Tony?
This is exciting getting to be a part of a Halloween podcast. This is my first one. I've never been a part of Halloween because, you know, a lot of my scary stuff doesn't get the recognition it scarily deserves.
Well, that's why we're here.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Steven brought this one up to me and he said, hey, I know this guy that I want to try to get him on your show. And I was like, sure. What kind of Halloween stuff does he have? He gave me a list and I was like, I don't think it's going to fit. But you know what? I saw this guy play Elvis and I just moved to Tennessee, so I kind of thought that was a sign that I had to get this guy on. So I was like, perfect.
What's really scary about that is I gained 88 pounds to play him.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, and I still only lost like 3 of it. Oh, man, I'll tell you. It was fun, though. That was one of my favorite things to ever do.
Yeah, that's probably a great place to start, so just to let the audience in on it. That was a show called Eerie Indiana, The Other Dimension.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and the original Eerie Indiana was really entertaining. And, man, I had to, back in the day, boy, I'll tell you, I had a really good time with Fox Kids and Fox in general. They had a lot of good cartoons and a lot of good children's shows, and I kind of miss those days.
Right. Yeah, that's something that Lyle actually covers a lot in many of his shows. And we were talking off air, Lyle and I were, about Eerie Indiana. And it holds a special place in our hearts, but we also remember, like, around the same time, Goosebumps being a very popular series and them being super similar. So I started to dig into that a bit, and oddly enough, they were both on Fox.
Yeah, and it was one of those shows that it had really high ratings, so I'm surprised it never went for, like, 9 seasons type of thing. But, you know, these things happen. And Fox was retooling.
Right. It had a short run, but became so popular that it kind of like forced Fox's hands to bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. I think people liked it. And I got to tell you, the stars of the show, Bill Schweitzer, Daniel Clark, Lindy Booth, Bruce Hunter, and Deborah Odell, they were all incredible to work with. And I was really happy. And a lot of the guest stars, including my friend Tony Rosato, who has passed on. Tony was a star of SNL. You remember him during the Eddie Murphy days. Okay. Lots of sketches and writing. And he came back to Canada. I was working in Canada. He came back there and did Eerie with me. And I just loved Tony. That was it was nice to work with these people. And how I got cast, I'll freak you out. Lyle, I don't know if you ever worked with actors directly or what have you. But how I got cast was a friend of mine, Brian Levy, is a casting director in Canada. And he was working with a partner named John Comerford, who was casting the series. And so he goes, hey, come out and be Elvis, because I've heard you sing like Elvis. And I go, I don't know. I don't think so. He goes, just do it, man. You know, so I'm like, OK. So I show up and I see there's a room full of Elvis impersonators. Like, we're talking like 100 guys all dressed. I show up in jeans and a T-shirt and I'd lost 15 pounds to shoot this other thing. And so I go in and they're like, oh, well, this guy doesn't look like an Elvis impersonator. And the first thing I said is I said to the producer, I said, hey, Julie, let me go down to your Cadillac and shoot your engine. I like that. Oh, thank you. Hey, Jimmy, give me some of that sandwich you got there. And they're just peeing themselves laughing, and they're like, all right, this is the guy, like, send everybody else home. I'm like, what? I'm like, great, you know?
I also think people rely on their Elvis get-ups too much. Like, they rely on the costume to do the job for them, where you just showed up and showed up in character and had material.
Exactly. It was fun. It was like kind of cool. And I didn't practice the material. It was just, you know, my improv skills, because right. I've worked with the likes of Colin Mockery, and it was just, you know, I grew up in Second City and theater sports, and, you know, the kind of stuff like Upright Citizens Brigade and the Groundlings. And just, I was able to do that and took that to my radio gigs. And it was funny, because when I first started doing stuff for Howard Stern, he'd always ask me, he's like, do you write all your phone calls out and then make them? I go, what? No, we just find a number in the phone book, dial it, and go, okay, let's just do it, you know? And then he goes, how do you get permission? I go, I'm pretty nice. I call back and I go, you know, I said, but I'll be honest, Howard, I've thrown away at least a thousand phone calls that I couldn't use because you couldn't get permission.
I can only imagine what are on those calls.
Yeah.
Somebody's embarrassed and I want to say good night. You know, that sort of thing. Can't be helped.
Lyle, we were talking about Goosebumps, Erie, Indiana, and what came first. So I looked it up, and actually Erie was first. So yeah. Erie was in 91.
You guys are better at this than me. I was like, I'm like, what did I do? Like, I saw on my IMDb page, there's a show called Monster Force. And I remember something about it, but I don't remember doing it. But I did like tons of episodes. I just can't remember because it's all like extra voices and stuff. And it's really fun because a lot of times on the cartoons, you go in and if you could do multiple voices, you get paid for every voice, where the lead actors only get paid for whatever they do. And so it's kind of cool. I was like going into some shows, doing 5, 6, 7 voices and walking away, you know, going, oh, I really like this gig. It's fun, you know. And then I went on to do the X-Men and you know, and all the X-Men game series and stuff, playing Gambit after Chris Potter left the show. And how I got that gig was I was playing Bobby LeBeau, who happened to be Gambit brother. And then Chris left the show, so then they said, well, naturally he sound like Gambit, so let's just make him Gambit now. And then I gave him some hair on his chest. And with the Sailor Moon stuff, I speaking of Halloween, we had several episodes, well, more than several, that are where I played monsters of the day, but also there were a couple of like really freaky, that because Japan is really, I guess, Halloween, but they have some scary storylines. And it was great because there was a lot of freaky monster things and weird diabolical characters that I got to play. And that was kind of fun.
Did you know Bill Schweitzer was in probably the only X-Men series that you weren't in, X-Men Evolution?
Yes, the little devil. He's a good, now Bill Schweitzer, that kid from Erie.
So Erie, Indiana, the whole entire series was spooky, so lends itself to the whole Halloween theme. And something else you were on, Tony, was Tales from the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to go back on it, you guys. I don't, if you guys can remember.
Sure.
What episodes I did or what characters. It's like, because it's awesome. A blur.
Yeah. I mean, and I could imagine too, like, your experience with it is probably a lot different from our experience with it. I remember seeing that on Saturday mornings. So like, we're seeing a finished product and you're going into studio, I imagine, and, you know, just reading from a bunch of papers.
Yep. That's pretty well it. It's like, you know, with a lot of the characters, sometimes you only get what they give you. They're only given the whole script out. But later on, after the 90s, they just started sending the whole script, and that way you could read it. Because okay. A lot of people wouldn't give it away, but there were some silly people. And I don't know if you remember, I was in Spawn in the Demon's Hand.
Right.
In the video game. And then there was also, what was the other one? Oh, Devil May Cry. You remember that one?
That was huge.
Yeah, I loved that game.
Yeah. Do you remember Mundus, Lyle?
It's been 20 years, but
that was my character. Yeah. And then I had like Amnesia Warlords and what was the other one? God, there were a few good, like, spooky, scary things that I would never let my kids play with.
Some of those games, because they're so immersive, are super scary. I remember I went to a friend's house and he had the first Resident Evil or something. And it was late at night and the lights were off. And like, we were playing and we were having like heart attacks. Like, it was unbelievable.
You know, it's funny. It's not on my IMDb because I never put any of this stuff on. But I was in one of the Resident Evils. I can't remember which one it was. There's so many. It's like 25 of them. I don't know.
Tony, did you work directly with John Edward Kasser?
I've met John, but I don't know him that well. But yeah,
he's the Crypt Keeper.
But he recorded. I think he was in L.A. at the time and recorded from there.
Do you do a Crypt Keeper?
I think I can. I can't remember what he sounded like. What do you sound like? British? Lyle, you know it.
British, I'm assuming.
Nice try. Hang on, let me see.
Cockney. British Crypt Keeper.
A Cockney. A Cockney. He was like that. He was like a Michael Caine type of Crypt Keeper. I don't know him that well.
A little bit higher. Oh, okay.
Let's see. Oh, here he is. I'm missing.
Lyle, do you do an English accent?
I do no accents.
Do this for me. Try this out. Say my cocaine, like as if it's you're admitting to having drugs. Say my cocaine, but try to say it with like a British accent. It'll sound like Michael Caine.
My cocaine?
See?
My cocaine. My cocaine.
I remember the Crypt Keeper. That's where that guy, he stole the Crypt Keeper voice to do Gollum.
Yes.
So think about it. The Crypt Keeper was first.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it came from. You're good.
Production wise, this Tales from the Crypt Keeper animated series was made by a company called Nelvana.
That's right. They're a great company, Nelvana. I did a lot of cartoons with Nelvana, and they produce other stuff as well, but they've just got the greatest producers and the greatest directors and managers and art directors, and it's just really good stuff. The only product that I made with them that I was kind of disappointed that it didn't go was a character I did called the Manly Bee. Lyle, you got to look that up. It was Manly cute. Bee. I played a young version of my old man self, so going, yeah, this stupid pacemaker's not working. Then bumble, bumble, buzz, buzz, buzz. Hey, it's me, the Manly Bee. Now I'm a bee and I'm younger and strong. It was fun.
Was that Phil Hartman for a second?
It could have been. Actually, it could be Patrick Stewart without the accent. Hi, it's me, Patrick. You are your own father. What?
Isn't that commercial great, you guys?
Oh, that Mark Hamill, Patrick Stewart commercial? That's for Hulu, I think. Was it for Hulu?
Nope.
Or like Uber Eats or something?
Uber Eats, yeah.
There we go.
That's pretty good.
Holy cow. When I saw that on Mark Hamill's Instagram, and I go, what is this?
It's really good.
Here's something cool. So Nelvana produced the cartoon show Droids and Ewoks. Furthermore, they actually named a planet in the Star Wars universe after Nelvana. That's pretty crazy. So there's an episode of the Clone Wars animated series where Anakin travels to the planet Nelvin, intentionally named after Nelvana.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Things you learn.
And other cool stuff that they've done was Eek the Cat and the Beetlejuice cartoon series.
Wow. Hey, I was going to ask, what was that website you guys were talking about? You might have mentioned it to me. It was about how you can check how many degrees of separation of somebody you are.
I think I said we should do that website.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Really? Now somebody just stole it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like, that's one of those things. Anyway, if you take the time to do it, someone who already has the infrastructure will just take it from you. So like IMDb will just add like a crossover feature to see like you check off two people if they don't already have it and to see what projects they've worked together on, because that would be helpful.
Are you talking about like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, it is. Yes, the sir. Oracle. It's called the Oracle. Oh, well, look at this.
So
Tony Daniels.
It?
Yeah. Tony Daniels was in the movie Blizzard with Kevin Pollak. Who is an L.A. story who worked with Patrick Stewart.
There you go.
More options. There's more. I have another link. Let's see. LeVar Burton, who is in Star Trek Nemesis with Patrick Stewart. Christopher Plummer, who I adore, and the captains of Patrick Stewart. Steve Conker. Never mind. Al Pacino. Let's do that. Am I related to Al Pacino in movies? Blizzard Insider. Oh, the Insider. So I'm 2 degrees. Let's see. Another link. Again, the movie Blizzard I did, and God rest his soul, you guys could look this up. There was a man that I starred with in Blizzard. Well, I didn't star. I was like a guest star. Additional voices as reindeer, basically, with my friend Len Carlson, who was the voice of Ho, 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 Green Giant. And we did Blizzard together, and it was really cool. We got to work with Whoopi and a couple other actors. It was fun.
Tony, tell Lyle a certain product that you lend your voice to.
Well,
Let me guess. Do your children like Kellogg's Frosted Flakes?
No, you can't be.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No.
It's Tony the Tiger on your show.
What years?
As we live and breathe.
Yeah.
Current?
Current for Canada, yeah. Yeah, Thurl Ravenscroft, who did it for like 60, 50 years or whatever it was, he had passed, and it was kind of hard. And then I was working with him, and it was crazy. We ended up during the session, they didn't get a clean, Tony's thing, because he was at the time he was 94 years old, and he was on oxygen. So they said, why don't you, just sit back and relax. And then when he left, they said, man, we didn't get a clean. I think the line was Tony's Turbos. And I went,
you mean Tony's Turbos? And they went, let's do it.
So,
wow. I am fascinated by advertising characters.
Me too. It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, like you wouldn't believe. You walk into my studio and you go, this guy has nothing else to do but sit on eBay all day and just buy whatever advertising character he can find.
Oh, man, that's true.
So no, that's actually really cool.
I never thought about that.
I'm speechless. The only other advertising character that I've ever, like, talked to was the Dell dude from Dell. Oh, gosh, what's his name? I can't remember what his name is.
You mean it's not the one that's on those funny phone calls?
John, you go, who are you? Come on, stop it.
You know that one? Hey, welcome to Dell. Can I help you?
No, the Dell dude, Ben Curtis.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to interview him a while ago, and that was only because he contacted me after I did an episode for the Amazing Advertising Podcast, the one where I talk about advertising characters. And he emailed me and said, hey, you want me on your show? And I was like, of course, why would I not?
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
That's kind of really cool. Yeah. Can you get Lily from the AT&T commercials?
I would die. There's two girls that I always say they are so good looking that I can't even look at. One is her. The other one was early 2000s Megan Fox. I can't stare at them because weird. Just can't do it.
Don't forget, Steve, he also said the same thing about Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
That's right. Yeah, off air. I don't think he wanted that on the show.
Yes.
Lyle, they had to disable comments. Like AT&T had to go in and disable comments on their social media with the AT&T girl.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like,
it's unreal.
I don't get it. Like this isn't the first time she's done it. I mean, she's been doing
it for
years.
Yeah, but this is like people in lockdown that are all worked up.
Like, so much tension.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did that, but man, I don't know. I mean, she was always really cute. I mean, I like Flo from,
Progressive.
She's got a thing about her.
But no, there's never been anybody I went, wow, I got to meet her. I don't think. That's kind of crazy, but in a good way, But yeah, you're right.
People that like you see every day, they're kind of like in your face every day in these advertisements, and you kind of, you can develop a thing.
Yeah. I mean, you can't with horror movies and stuff because it's weird.
Yes, very.
Tony, what did you do on Monster Force?
I was trying to figure that out.
Well, I guess IMDb would tell us, but
not necessarily. Well, let's see. What year was that? 93 or 4?
94.
Okay, let me see.
It's made in 94. Listen to this. It was set in 2020, oddly enough. So
wow.
I'm trying to figure out what they got right. Like, did they have a pandemic set in a civil war? Was that a two-parter of their show? What was that?
Oh, it's weird because I've been getting all my, there's my buddy Dennis Akeyama, who's passed on. I loved him, man. George Buza, who I worked with on the X-Men. Let's see, Maria Del Mar. We just did a movie together last year. Luis Ferreira, who I adore. Don Franks, oh, he's passed away too. Jill Frappier, who I did, boy, this really sucks. Jill, I did Sailor Moon with. And then Paul Haddad just passed away. He had, and then Graham Haley passed away. Keith Hampshire had a big hit song called Big Time Operator. Yeah. Remember that song? I don't think you guys know that. My buddy Dan Hennessy, Ellie Ray Hennessy, was a really good friend. Let's see. There's so many cool people. Howard Jerome, who's from Brooklyn. Hey, my name's Howard Jerome. How are you? Keith Knight, he's gone. God, so many dead people.
It's amazing what time does to people.
Yeah. That's amazing. Oh, yeah, man. I got to tell you, you know the movie The Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm.
So I became really close to Sir John Neville. You know, at the beginning of the movie when he goes, get out of there. You can't fly. Sir, I'm going to ram it down the three. You know, the older, the captain of the ship or the general. Anyway, he was a friend. And we worked on a show together and we just used to go for coffee together and have fun. So it's very interesting. Wow, look at this. So what did I, Aaron Togger? He's gone. Oh, geez, man. Boy, you shouldn't have showed that one to me.
Yeah, there you go. Have you ever worked on any productions, Tony, that felt like they were cursed or had like a black cloud of sorts? Because like we've actually touched on that on some of Lyle's other shows.
Boy, there's not my Husky.
Scott
I think
Scott Salem has a black cloud.
He does, and he's got popcorn lung. But here's a good one. You guys will love this. So see, it's not on my IMDb because I don't know if it was ever allowed back then, but you know Chucky?
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well. So there was a director's cut of Chucky that they needed. And they didn't have, I forget who did Chucky's voice. What was the guy's name? Brad Dourif was not available. And they needed a bunch of, cool dude too. Very nice man. They needed a bunch of his lines replaced, like a ton. I'm talking like 30 lines, 40 lines. And so they call me and they go, hey, can you do Chucky? And I go, sure, whatever it was. I can't remember. It's been that long. So they go, come on in. So I go in. And we're like flying, man. So no black cloud. I don't know, around 11:30 or so in the morning. We've been there a couple hours, 3 hours. And they said, hey, listen, I heard you have an audition today for a cartoon. I go, yeah. And they go, where's the studio? I go, across the street. They go, you know what? Take an extra long lunch. Go do your audition. Then come back and we'll finish off the day. And you'll be done by like 4:30, 5 o'clock. And I'm like, this is cool. So I go across and I'm working with my buddy Bill, who's an engineer. And then there was a director. And he's like, okay, Tony, let's go from the top. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. And the guy goes, boy, your voice a little scratchy today. I said, I'm sorry, man. I was across the street doing Chucky. And he goes, you mean the murderous puppet Chucky thing? And I go, yeah, why? And he goes, oh, that's terrible. And he goes, okay. Yeah, here, get some water and clear your throat. There we go. So, yeah, I got some water to clear my throat. And then I started doing the Chucky voice, you know. A little, you know, that whole Chucky thing. It was right on, you know, and everything. All of a sudden, the board catches on fire, and the guy's like, hey, you brought the evil in here, man. You brought the evil. Get out. You're fired. Go. And I'm like, what? And my agent had to call him and go, listen, you try that again, I'll sue you. So he had to bring me back the next day, but I still didn't get a part in this cartoon because he just hated it. But it was fun working on that. And Meg Tilly is like, she's awesome. She's Canadian, right?
Yeah, she's Canadian. She's a Canadian.
She is. I never knew the Tilly girls were Canadian, but yeah. Meg and Jennifer, Harbor City. Oh, no, wait. She was born in California, though, wasn't she? Oh, Jennifer was born in California. Meg. So I was working with Jennifer Tilly. Meg Tilly is the Canadian, right?
No, she born in L.A., but is Canadian-American actress.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I mean, it made sense because back then, if you were getting a lot of work in Canada, especially if you were making a lot of really cool, if you're getting a lot of stage work, which a lot of really good actors came to Canada to work in Stratford, which is a real, it's almost like being in Stratford, England with all the Shakespearean plays and stuff. When I was a kid, it was like going there, it was a godsend. I had a really good drama teacher who, man, she paid for everything. She would pay to have all the kids shipped out on buses to Stratford, and she paid for the tickets. And I was like, this woman really changed my life. She was amazing.
Do you remember if any of the other shows, like X-Men or Avengers or anything, had you know what? The Busy World of Richard Scarry did have a Halloween episode.
Yes, it did. But yeah. I got a better one from the X-Men and from the Avengers. X-Men, Avengers, a whole bunch of shows we recorded at a place called, which is now called Technicolor in Toronto. But back then it was called Sounds Interchange. And there was a, you guys are going to love this. So I think the best story for me, because I've seen her a couple times, but the best story for me was we were recording the Avengers one night. And I'm in the booth playing Hawkeye, Clint Barton, and Tony Pastor, who I just lost, my director and friend and confidant and mentor. He was amazing, dude. He directed Spider-Man. He directed the Smurfs. He directed, all the Stan Lee stuff. He worked for Stan. He worked for Hanna-Barbera. Just an incredible dude. Anyway, so I'm standing in the booth, and I saw these guys just about, do things in their pants. This little white ghost comes running right through the soundboard and the glass, right past me, all the way through the wall. And they're like, did you see that? And I go, yep.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. Well, what was that? You can look it up. Let me just see. I wonder if we can find that. It's,
how does this not come up when I asked you before? Like, was there anything weird or spooky on set?
This is so crazy.
Hold on. So you're recording Hawkeye.
Yep.
You're recording Hawkeye. You're in the booth, and a little white ghost runs through the studio, through the mixer, and through the wall.
Yeah. No, I mean, seriously.
I believe you. To be clear, I believe you. I'm taken aback by it right now.
God, we did a lot of stuff. I did a lot of stuff there. Little Rosie.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, it was fun. Like, that was a cool show. And anyway, so sounds interchange. I'm trying to find the story, though. So what they found out was this young girl was murdered. That was a old farmland. And this young girl was murdered there. And her body still to this day runs through there. Every so often, she'll just out of nowhere appear. Wow. And it's a God's honest truth. And it happened like four times.
And other people were there too, so it was like a collective experience.
Oh, I wish I could get Tony on the phone right now, but he's in heaven, so that's not going to work because I don't have the heaven Skype connection. But and then I got to tell how many times I was trying to get a hold of a friend of mine before we came on because I played a devil. I played the devil in some author had written a book, and my friend said, "Hey, let's get Tony Daniels to do the reading of your book." And so here, I'll freak you guys out. So I didn't know the author was there. So I walk in and I start reading the book and I'm like,
"It was a chance for you to die and come back to life. Many people think I am God."
And it was like, the guy nearly crapped. He was like, "Dude, that's how I envisioned it." And was like, so we finished this whole thing. It was a really cool read. That's why I don't like reading like books on tape. Unless if they let me do characters, fine. I won't do it if it's just so she crossed the street and opened a store and decided to play with a small butterfly that had landed in front. It was like, come on, I don't want to read that crap.
Tony, are there any other details you can share about that story of the ghost kid running across the studio?
Well, she came right out of the wall, right? And then she walked past the director, the producer, the art director, and the sound engineer, and then ran right past me into the other wall. And I swear to God, I saw these men. They were older than me. These men going, did you see that? And I just couldn't stop laughing. And then I go, yeah, I saw it. And they're like, why aren't you freaked out? And I go, I don't know.
Was that the first time you had seen it too?
It was the first time. No. This is so weird because I did see her like a couple of times because I did so much work in that studio. Me and Dennis and all these guys that I worked with. And the first time I think was first time was during an X-Men cause it was, and it's, here's the best. It's like, normally you record during the day, right? But sometimes, it wasn't an X-Men. It was, I was working on this recording and it was an after school thing, basically it was, come in after hours because they needed the studio for longer and they didn't want to pay, you know, at the time it was like $400 an hour or something. But in the evening time, it was like $175 an hour. So they had me come in because this, it was a low production and it was fine. So I went in and then I think the woman, Yeah, she, the producer, she, I think she almost had a heart attack when it happened because the girl ran around the, like super fast around the room, then right through the room I was, and then nothing. And then I was trying to explain it, but it wasn't the same. I'm going to freak you boys out. It wasn't the same experience. Like I think I told Steve about my trip to Mexico, right?
I'm not sure you did.
And about my buddy Dave, who came to, we were staying at the Sportsman's. Okay, here's a good one for you. So I have this friend who's a producer, director, and an actor, and we were working together. And I used to go to his house, and he used to have this older house, but he didn't have air conditioning. Yet in the summertime, he, his room that he had in this basement area, he had this one room where he had like a little, not like a studio, sort of like a writing studio set up. And I go in there and it was like, Dave, you got to turn off the air conditioning. He goes, I don't have an air conditioner. I go, it's freezing in here, man. So, and I had another friend who found the same thing. So we were down in California. We're going to visit a friend of ours, radio people. And we're at the Swartzen's Lodge and I'm standing there when we first got through the door and all of a sudden, I made this sound and he goes, what's wrong? And I go, nothing. And he goes, no, I saw some. What was that? I go, nothing, Dave. Don't worry about it. Because I know he's kind of like a naysayer or whatever. I didn't want to say anything. So we, that night we got back to the hotel and we're, you know, sharing a room and he's got a bed way over there. And I got a bed way over here. And then in the middle of the night, it's got to be like 4 or 5 in the morning. I'm looking over and I see his hand moving, but not his hand. There's a hand on his arm moving. And I go, what the heck is that? What is he doing? And I look, but it's not his hand. It's a feminine hand. And I went, whoa. And then she appeared and I kicked up all the lights and I go, get out of here. And she flew around. She flew around the room and she was the same spirit that flew through me the day before. Anyway, whoa. He goes, oh, you saw that. And I go, okay, Dave, what's going on? He goes, I didn't want to scare you. I go, well, you can't scare me because I've been around this a lot. He goes, well, okay, what time did I, at the time it was, you know, in California, so it was 5 o'clock, so it was 8 o'clock Eastern. Well, there's a priest at my house trying to get rid of a spirit. I go, well, that didn't help. You brought her with you, you dummy. And he goes, what? Because this is the God's honest truth. And I know because I've seen his nephew. His nephew had stigmata. We'd be sitting there. Yeah, I swear to God, on my mother. We'd be sitting there. All of a sudden, his forehead would open up and blood would pour out.
Whoa.
And they couldn't explain it. So we had a friend who said, look, and she's a soothsayer. She said, you've got to go and get a priest to bless your house. And that's what it was. It was this spirit. And she was another young murder victim that was murdered. And this is way north of the city. She was murdered way north of the city on a farm. And when they built the house there, she hadn't died really. She was in limbo. Anyway, it was kind of freaky. So I got the I guess the, not a priest, I don't know who you call him anyway. He gets rid of spirits. So I called him and because Dave's father was a traveler. He worked for either the BBC or one of these large production companies, you know, that was broadcasting worldwide. And he had gone to Africa and I said to the guy, I said, go through that room. There should be a box full of trinkets and all kinds of crap. So he opens it up and he finds this box labeled Africa. And it was full of all these little like voodoo doll things. Right. And he goes, yes, I found it. I said, so take those voodoo doll things and put them in the fireplace. And he's like, what? I go, put them in the fireplace, start the fire. And so he burned them and then she disappeared. And that was it. That's the last we saw. And after that he changed. He was actually a way better, I much more, I don't know, grounded, I guess, because this entity had taken him over and was kind of running his spirit.
This is the craziest shit I've ever heard, because like I've heard stuff like this, but I've never had someone I directly do, like a close friend that had firsthand experiences with any of this kind of stuff.
Well, I told you I died twice, right?
I don't exactly know what that means. Like you were medically pronounced dead twice, like your heart stopped beating.
Yeah, I was I had gone for an eye operation in Toronto, and they had wheeled me into after what they do this kind of eye surgery, because the muscle, I was in a car accident and the muscle had got clipped, and so they wanted to reconnect it properly. So I go in and they put you down and they do their little thing around the eye, and then they bring you out and they snip the muscle, and then they retie like a knot. So it's pretty amazing surgery. You know, when you see people that have like Marty Feldman eye, hello, sir. You know, so I had like Marty Feldman eye, and Lyle, I used to like you.
Anyway, so, that was a good
so
one.
I had this like, I had Marty Feldman eye. I got my brain from Abby Normal. So they tie it back up and they put me back under, and I look down and I see myself and I hear. Then I hear in the background, press card, code blue, recovery four. And this nurse is pounding my chest going, come on, kid, breathe. I'm looking going, well, this is weird. Now behind me, there's a big, beautiful, bright white. I don't know how to explain it. It's a big, beautiful, soft white light. It's like pure white and amazing, right? And I thought, man, that's where I want to go because it looks fantastic. But she was like, working on me. She goes, please don't die. Come on, kid. Come on. And I'm like, she's working on me. And I'm looking up. There's me. Oh, my God. If I die, she's going to lose her job. That's, I don't know. Did I die? I don't know. According to them, I did. So, because I was gone for like a minute and change. So, I don't know how you guys know or what you know about astral travel and all that stuff and being out of your body. So, there's a kind of a theory, which, you know, I guess I followed in my subconscious, that I pulled on my string and pulled myself back to my body. Then I woke up, and at one point there were two nurses working on me, this blind lady, and then she leaves the room to go get the cart, and she goes, I got him. She yells out. Anyway, so they left me there for another 5-6 hours. They told my folks not to come get me. And so when they show up, they go, keep an eye on him. He left us for a while, and they go, what do you mean? And I couldn't really talk too much because the oxygen burns your throat. And I said, I died. And they were like, my parents, their faces, man, it was pretty freaky. And then we were still leaving. I saw the blonde lady. And I go, thank you for helping me. She goes, oh, she told you, right? And I go, no, I saw you. She goes, what do you mean you saw me? It freaked her out. So there you go. The things you find out about your friends.
No, huh? you told me about some of that, but how old were you when this happened?
That one was later. I was in like 30. But the first one was a drowning of, the first one was like a friend of mine had a boat, and I went off the side and I busted a rib and I went straight down to the bottom of the 70-foot lake. And I didn't think I was going to make it. And then things went black. And then I woke up in the boat. And so a few years later, I called the dude and I'm like, I'm really freaked out here. And blah, blah, blah. You know, thank you for saving my life. He goes, I didn't pull you in the boat. I go, well, then who did? My sister must have done it. I said, no, I broke off to your sister because she couldn't lift up a 5-pound bag of sugar. And he goes, well, I didn't pull you in. So then I did research on the lake, and apparently there's a friendly ghost that goes around the lake saving people from drowning.
Wow. What, do you mind saying what lake this is?
Yeah, this one's just Lake Simcoe in Toronto.
Wow.
You should go there, Steve. You have a good time.
Yeah, Steve, go ahead. Go swimming.
Go swimming, yes. Bring Lyle, and we'll have some fun.
We could market that as the safest lake around, you know.
I think so.
If the worst does happen, you get a friendly ghost that might help you out.
It's kind of weird. It's like look, Lake Simcoe, spooky Simcoe has a haunted past.
Ooh. Lyle, this is way scarier than the poltergeist episode.
I know. I was just
yeah, it's pretty neat. But other than that, I you know, my grandmother was kind of a soothsayer anyway, and my grandma's house, there were a few freaky things, like water pouring out of the wall. And so my uncle, he freaked out, and he's like, took a drywall saw, started cutting the drywall. When he opened up, there was no pipes. And we're ever like, what the hell? And it stopped, but there was nothing. So, you know, I don't know.
I think Dan Aykroyd, he's Canadian.
Yep.
All right. I think his parents we used to do seances and stuff. And that's why he was always so interested in the occult. And he wrote the original script for Ghostbusters, or it was his concept.
I did not know that. I knew he was into the occult because, I mean, even his
vodka, right?
Yeah. It's a skull, right?
Skull, yeah.
Yep.
Lyle, you don't have any crazy stories, do you?
I don't really have those types of stories. I mean, the only thing that I've ever like suffered from, I do suffer from sleep apnea, which they call it the old hag syndrome, where it feels like something's pressing on your chest and you see yourself out of your body while you're sleeping. And it happens constantly where I know I'm awake. I just can't move. My brain is on and I'm telling myself, move, move, move. I can't move. I can see myself sleeping. It's really weird. I shared some of the stories already on the Halloween podcast, but I don't think I ever shared this. The latest one that really scared me was I was sleeping in bed and my wife sleeps on the left side. I sleep on the right side. That's how it always is. So this one night I fell asleep. I was having one of those attacks. I knew I was having one. I was like, come on, Lyle, wake up. I just kept saying, wake up, move, move, move. And all of a sudden I basically saw myself sleeping, and I look up and there is this, have you ever seen the movie Winchester with the Winchester lady from the Mystery House, how she always wore black and she had that black veil over her face? I saw something like that standing over me, just like sitting, like looking. It couldn't look, but I knew I was looking at the face, but I couldn't, there was no eyes, there was no nothing. It just looked like a big old black mass that was, it was a head. That's all I can say. And I started screaming in my dream. Like I was screaming, and my wife, she wakes up and she's all like, what was that? And then that knocked me out of whatever it was. And I was like, what was what? And she said, what were you saying? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, you were like screaming, you were saying ooh or something like that. And I was like, I don't think I was I? But and then I, like, the second I said that, everything snapped back, saying, oh wow, I saw something. What was that? I don't know. And that like literally scared me. I don't really get scared from ghost stuff. It doesn't bother me, but that one freaked me out. And since then, I haven't really had the panic attacks and the sleep apnea. But it's weird when it happens.
It could have been a good spirit trying to help you out.
It sounded like
no,
it.
No, seriously, because yeah, there was years ago, I never used to tell people about the astral projection because people think you're nuts. You know, you never tell it to Howard, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Sal made that mistake.
Sal made that. Sal and I talked about it. And I said, yeah, you don't tell them because, you know, if somebody doesn't, if they've never experienced it, or, you know, if they don't have even the inkling on how to experience it, because when you can leave your, when your soul can leave your body, it's kind of interesting. And so I was trying to explain to Sal that, so don't just go out there, but go out there and travel and see, you know. And I have a feeling that maybe that is how we travel to other galaxies and, you know, explore the universe is through energy pattern disbursement, for lack of a better term. I'm not sure.
Well, even if you don't believe in, if you don't have like faith-based beliefs, like you got to believe in energy. You got to believe in physics.
No, exactly.
And they say energy doesn't get destroyed. Like it can't be created or destroyed. So it has to be transferred. You get eaten by worms and then you come back up as flora and fauna, you know, that kind of thing. But
it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think on one level, but if we have energies to us that are more conscious, like, you know, what happens with that?
Yeah, exactly. Boy, that's a good question. You know, and again, it is true. I mean, that's was wasn't that an Einstein theory? Energy can't be created nor destroyed. Or is
right.
it? Yeah. And again, you know, you're, or you could come back as human or anything else. You're
right. That's the part we don't know.
We don't know. Yes. And that's kind of a cool, I'm coming back as a bicycle seat on a 10 speed.
Yeah. Well, Lyle, you know that, the Blair Witch Project was from Tennessee. The real happenings, I guess.
I didn't know that there was real happenings. I could have sworn it ended up being an elaborate.
No. The production was fake. Yeah, that was a production. But like, it was based off of
the Bell
stories.
Witch.
Okay. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I did look up the Bell Witch because I did know that that was in Tennessee. It is in Adams, Tennessee. Adams is a little bit north of Nashville, I believe.
I think you're right.
Yeah, a little bit north of Nashville. It's about 2.5 hours away from me. I actually did a search on like a lot of like spooky places around Tennessee because I want to check those out. This was on the list because it's not too far away. And next time I take somebody to the Nashville airport, I'm just going to take a quick detour up, see the cave, and then head on down. But there's really not that many happenings here in Tennessee. I mean, I know Shiloh Park is down the road from me. It's literally 10, 15 minutes away. And they had a lot of the Civil War stuff there. And I've been reading that there's supposedly a lot of haunted places there. You can't go at night. It's blocked off. And I can't take my drone over there and kind of just do a couple of flybys.
Well, that kind of gives it a level of legitimacy. If they're blocking it off, are they closing it because the state parks close at a certain time, or are they closing it for people's safety from the unknown?
The state park closes. It says that the park is closed the second it's dark. There's no time. It's when the lights are gone, the park's closed. But okay. I hear that there's a lot of activity there, and I drive around a lot here at night in Tennessee. I go through a lot of backwoods to kind of see, like, I always remember watching these like ghost story things on TV, and it was always like, oh, if you're driving by graveyards, you'll see the blue the figure of a woman standing there. And here in Tennessee, graveyards are everywhere, and I'm probably no less than a mile away from about two of them. So I'll drive through them at like night to try to see if I see anything, but I never see anything. People here, they're not as interested in the paranormal, at least the people that are around the town where I live. It's very faith-based, Bible-based, that sort of stuff. And so I haven't really asked any locals, like, hey, do you know of any place that like everyone? I mean, I guess I should ask teenagers because they're probably the ones that will know.
Well, there's got to be forums or groups or whatever online, right?
Yes, but me being new to Tennessee, I'm kind of hesitant to.
I got to be honest. You're Lyle Perez. You're the host of the Halloween podcast. I think that should get you somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, if I was in Arkansas, because most of my listeners come from Arkansas, I would say a good 40% of my downloads are people in Arkansas.
Cool. What's your target demographic? Arkansas.
Yes. Or I think it's Arkansas. Well, wherever Wichita is. Wichita has
Kansas. Kansas.
That's Kansas. Yeah. Then Kansas is it.
Got it. There's Kansas and there's Arkansas.
And then there's
angels and there are archangels.
Carry on my wayward son. We'll be.
I love it.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't really know much of what else is around here. But I'm trying to find some good spots to go and check out, see if I could see anything.
You would go by yourself, Lyle? Like, you would go check out spots like that all alone?
Ghosts don't scare me.
Wow.
Seeing something that's not supposed to be there doesn't scare me. What? I'll tell you one thing that does scare me. Like,
masks.
Literally. this literally scares me.
Geography.
Coincidences scare me to no end. Like, wow. If you remember the show in the 90s, Beyond Belief, how they kind of had a lot of like coincidence stories. Like there was this last one I saw was about a two feuding sisters. One of them died and the other one took the husband, and she took the dress from the dead sister from her body before she was buried. And she married the sister's husband and she had her dress on, and the girl ended up dying because the dress was poisoned with embalming fluid and she ended up dying. Like those types of things are what scare me. It's not necessarily seeing something. It's that coincidence of like, oh, that really, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but that's kind of what really freaks me out.
I get it. Yeah, it's like fate, like, you know, predetermination.
Sort of. But it's more or less like a big coincidence, like a mm-hmm. big, like an extravagant one. I remember reading another one where this church choir, everybody in the church choir was late to go to practice, and 5 minutes after they were all supposed to be there, all practicing, the church blew up. So if they were all in there when they were all supposed to, they would have blown up. But there was, I think, right. 13 of them, and they all showed up late. Like all of them had some weird excuse for being late, and the church blew up. So it's that. That freaks me out to no end.
You hear about the people who like didn't get on the plane for some really weird reason and then something happened.
Yes. They got on the plane for 9/11, or they were supposed to but didn't.
Right.
I think it was Craig Gass who was supposed to be on there.
Craig, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him New Year's Eve in Albany.
He was supposed to be on the plane, but I think his mom called him or something. I don't remember the story, but something happened. He missed the flight, and then he was watching TV, and there it was. That scares me. I don't know why. Like, my heart is pounding right now just thinking about that.
Wow.
So that's...
You ever see the Final Destination movies?
Yeah, I hated it.
They're dumb, but it kind of sounds like what you're explaining.
Yes, sort of, but in Final Destination, they're being chased by something.
Okay.
It's not the chasing that scares me. It's that weird, miraculous coincidence of, I think another one that I saw was like a taxi driver hit somebody, killed them, and then like a couple of years later, he had the same passenger inside of his car, and he was driving, and he hit another person who ended up being the brother of the person he killed. So,
what?
Yeah. It's just things like that. Just, I don't know. They hit me, and they just, I guess I don't know if they scare me or if they just cause me anxiety and panic.
A logical side of me wants to say, well, it's like a numbers game, and like the numbers are so big that these things are bound to happen eventually. So it's not so much of a coincidence, but the irony of that one, you know, of a lot of these make it extra weird.
Yeah. And that's what I don't like. I can't explain why I don't like it. It just freaks me out. And I mean, put me next to a ghost, I'll have a conversation with it all night long. But give me some type of weird coincidence, and no, I can't do it.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Wow.
Yep.
It's crazy, really. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever shared that on the Halloween podcast, but that's what actually scares me.
Yeah, another first.
Yes, and I had Tony the Tiger on here. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. It's fun.
So this was the house that we had grown up in the Bronx, and it was a super old house, like a very small old house right by the Throgs Neck Bridge, actually, so across from the Long Island Sound by the water. Those houses usually older. We kind of lived in like a basement, and it was a Friday, I can tell you that, because we went to Blockbuster, rented a VHS of a Batman cartoon, put it on, and Dave and I would set up our action figures in like different spots around the room. So the X-Men would hang out on top of the TV, and you know, the Avengers were over here. So we had an Archangel action figure.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, we had all these things, but like the Archangel action figure had wings, and it had like a little kind of switch on the back that if you pulled it down, it would make the wings kind of flap. So this thing was just like laid down like on its back, like it wasn't standing up. And we're watching the cartoon. We're looking at the TV, and the action figure starts moving, and it's kind of rotates like around the little trigger thing on the back where his wings are. And I look at Dave. I'm like, "Are you seeing this?" And he was seeing it. And then we ran upstairs, like we were freaked out. But I try to like debunk it. I try to use logic to figure out what happened. As an adult looking back at it, I'm guessing that the TV, it was like one of those old school kind of boxy TVs. And knowing us as kids, we probably were blaring the volume. If the bass was high enough that it was kind of shaking the panels, it could have made that happen. But that was our big ghost story when we were younger.
Ooh, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, except for I'm not sure that it was anything.
Well, are we ever really sure that it was anything?
I guess I look for it not to be anything. Like, I want it to not be anything in a way.
Would it scare you if it wasn't?
So then here's something else. So same room, and we would use old electronics to sort of be the cockpit of, like, a spaceship or what have you. So we'd set up, you know, a little corner and make mission control and make a spaceship on the other side. I'm in, like, a makeshift spaceship with my cousin, and we're using the old boombox for one of the control panels. And it didn't work. There were no batteries in it. It wasn't plugged in. And then all of a sudden it came on, and it came on very loud, and then was kind of dialing through frequencies from what I remember. It's a little hazy, so it could have just been that it came on. That much I do know. And then same thing, we ran upstairs, and don't know what happened there, but, you know, electronics.
I guess I don't freak out anymore. I just look at it and go, whatever.
Well, that's what got me when you're telling the story. You told a story very passively that, like, a ghost kid ran across the studio while you're recording Avengers, and that everyone else was freaked out and that you were kind of okay with it. And then that's what got me wondering, have you seen stuff before?
Oh, yeah. Or,
yeah.
Well, I know when my uncle died, my mom was like sitting there, and he just, before it even happened, and she called his name and said, "What are you doing?" And then he disappeared. And she goes, "That was weird. I just saw, you know, he just walked in the room, Uncle Hank." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And all of a sudden we get a phone call. "He just died." I'm like, "Whoa, Mom. He came inside before he left." And she's like freaking out. And I'm like, "Oh, no, it's a good thing. He went to let you know he's going to be okay, you know, wherever he's going." Oh, man, this is horrible. We shouldn't have talked about this. You know why? Lyle won't sleep tonight.
Oh, he doesn't care. Yeah, he doesn't care.
I will sleep like a baby.
Now, we can sing the Lyle sleeps tonight.
That happened to one of my cousins when my grandpa died. I remember them saying that they saw the grandpa right before he died in the hospital.
Wow. It's crazy. Yeah, I think it happens a lot. I haven't really... The odd time I'll see somebody, you know, where I can hear them somewhere, and it's just like, oh, okay, was that real or not, you know? But I've grown to expect that it probably is. I just won't tell other people because of, you know, like, again, we talked about Howard Stern not trusting Sal on that one. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of gets you, and you're like, okay, I ain't got to talk to people, because sometimes they go, this guy's nuts.
I think it's super interesting. I think in most settings, you can't really talk about it. Or, you know, I guess you can, but, like, it just won't be received well. Obviously, being on the Halloween podcast, that's the perfect place to talk about it.
No, it's like politics, anything like that. You got to be really careful. You got to pick your times, you know.
Because either people, like you said, they're going to think you're crazy, like they're absolutely closed to any of this being possible, or there's a chance that they know it's possible and they don't want to talk about it because they've had horrific experiences. That can be an option too.
Because it scares them. Ooh. And I got a good another scary little thing that's nice. So my friends Ken and Michelle Kupres, they own Michelle Mullinson Kupres. They own a production company out of Canada, and they're bringing back the hilarious House of Frightenstein. Did you guys ever get that when you were a kid?
I don't think I did.
Look that one up. It is funny. It is hilarious. I swear to goodness. Billy Van and Joe Flaherty, you know, from Second City. He played Dracula, basically. Or Billy did. What character did Joe play? I'm trying to remember. Anyway, it was a fun, insane, stupid, mad science show. And it was all based on basically Count Dracula type of thing. And
Universal
and Igor.
Monsters.
Yeah. Igor, ooh, it is me, Igor.
It had Vincent Price on it.
Yeah, we had Vincent. I'm Vincent. Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrify your neighborhood. And whomsoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot beside a corpse's shell.
Bravo.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a little Michael Jackson song there. Thank you.
I hope I have the rights to do that.
I guess if you play 30 seconds, they won't say anything.
Yeah. Who's going to come after the Halloween podcast? Come on.
They could. You never know.
Yeah, that would be something if it's so spot on that the systems actually flag that.
Yeah. Hi, it's me, Michael. I'm not dead. I'm just going to sue you for using my song. It's not going to happen. But yeah, if you guys ever have a chance to, I don't know if you can, where you can find it. Maybe it's on YouTube or something. I don't know. It's or Hulu or something. It's Slayer. So they just did a remake, which I think will be released soon. And it's funny. So it was like one of those really crazy, you know, they're kind of like the original Trailer Park Boys, basically, but with a Halloween theme for the whole year. And it played a lot. I mean, 130 episodes. Think about that, guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
71.
Was Joe Flaherty, was he on it? I'm for some reason, I think he was. Oh, no, he stole Billy Van's idea. Billy was great. He was an interesting character. Anyway, that's Shelley and old and like not part of American culture, but it was fun. And we had Julius Sumner, who played the scientist, and he was great. But, you know, you're right, Steve. We did have Vincent Price, and he was incredible on there. Fun. Very fun man. Did you know he was 6'4"? I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
I knew he was that tall.
I didn't know.
You played some of his stuff on your Lyle's Mystery Theater, I think.
Oh, yeah. I did The Price of Fear on there. I try to find a lot of his because he likes to do that very high class type stuff. I mean, there was one about the paintings and how he incorporated his painting into the story, and so it was pretty good.
I like some of those kind of crazy stories too, where like the artist paints with his own blood, you know,
or the artist that paints people and then they die.
Ooh, coincidence.
That freaks me out.
Steve, you and I have talked about this, and some of the fans out there. I produced a bunch of records for a Canadian rock star named Rick Emmett, who was the lead guitarist for Triumph. I don't know if you know who that is, Lyle. Mm-hmm. I can sing. Lay it on the line. Okay, so Rick and I were really close, and Rick's brother and I, we had a theater company together. We were always having fun. So he says, hey, it's Halloween. We're going to do something. And what is it? We're going to set up a haunted house in our place. So we went over, and I'm telling you, it was so much fun. I would dress. We all took turns doing different characters. Like one year I'd be like a Dracula. The next year I'd be like some sort of ghoul or something. But every year it switched around, and it was your year to be the Chomper. That was the fun one. The Chomper was a wrestler, and I'd be dressed like almost like a Fred Flintstone, and you'd have chains. He had real chains on you, and you're like, and you have like makeup and really weird stuff. And he's trying to break the chains, and the kids were like generally freaked out. Don't worry, he's under control. And we had a breaking link, so you'd slice your, you smooth your hand over this one section, the link would open. And it'd break off. And the kids would run out of the house. They didn't even take candy half the time. It was, you know, they got a show. And this guy would buy like hundreds of bucks worth of candy. Anyway, so one year, my friend Joe, I was playing, I don't know which character, but Joe was a big dude. Like, he's got to be like 350 pounds. And then the chain breaks and the kids go running. Well, this one kid didn't run out the front door. He ran to the front window and went right through it.
Aww.
What?
Yeah. And so we went, and the kid, luckily, nothing, no cut, no nothing. So we went, that's it. we can't do this anymore. And we stopped. But it was great. We had like 10 Halloweens where we were entertaining the kids. And, you know, they lined up to get in, right? We did 4 or 5 shows a night. It was really good. That kind of stuff is fun. Yeah, I love that.
Wow.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Well, we've said it all.
Yeah. Thank you, Howard. Thanks, Howard.
You've been listening to the Halloween Podcast with Lyle Perez. Today's guest was Tony Daniels and featuring Mr. Steve Konka. Ah, he scared me. Have a great night or day or sleep.
You can find Tony online at The Tony Daniels on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. All the cool spots. And I think we're going to be releasing some new material soon.
Yeah.
So maybe they want to hit that follow button.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank Tony Daniels for coming on the show and talking some ghost stories, some of his stuff from the 90s. It was awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening. And I'll see you guys tomorrow for another episode. Have a good night.